The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty, the podcast all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. We're your hosts, Jill Dunn and Carlene Higgins.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Breaking Beauty Podcast. I'm Jill Dunn, one of your co-hosts. I'm here as always with the wonderful Carlene Higgins. Hey Carlene.
Hey Jill, welcome to our BBs. And we are two longtime beauty editors, turned beauty podcasters. Y'all know that we're here every single Wednesday delivering conversations on the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty.
We could be reviewing products to let you know what's hashtag damn good. We also might be de-influencing some products from time to time as editors. That's kind of baked into us. Like, we love to tell you what not to waste your money on as well. And we speak to epic founders with unbelievable stories.
And the experts who are shaping all the trends, everyone from Makeup by Mario to Jen Atkin we had on recently. And today's guest is one of the most in-demand celeb facialists. His name is Lord Gavin McLeod Valentine. Oh, yes, you heard that right. And let me just tell you, he's one of my favorite guests in so long because he is just as much of a character in real life.
Yes, there's just those people who are born to podcast, and Lord Gavin is that one. So all of you are in for a treat. And Elle Magazine dubbed Lord Gavin the king of red carpet skin prep. And so in today's episode, we're getting all of his best tips and tricks just ahead of the Met Gala, which is next Monday, believe it or not. It's already the first Monday in May.
Lord Gavin is the one doing all the prep before the makeup, making that skin glow. His clients in the past have included Kim Kardashian, Sharon Stone, Halle Berry. More recently, he worked with Emily Blunt and Lily Gladstone for the 2024 Oscars red carpet prep. So he's just like, he is the man. And I think what's so cool about Lord Gavin is he really does make this distinction between like the kind of facialist or esthetician you'll go to for regular maintenance, skin health. But he is like that guy that, you know, celebrities will go to before their magazine cover, before their red carpet moment to get those instant results. You know, that is a skill to have a before and after that's instant like that. I mean, I don't know about you, Jill, but I was there for all the secrets.
Yeah. And it's almost like a distinction between an esthetician and a face masseur, which is what he kind of refers to himself as. So today we're going to get amazing tips from him that you can even do at home.
So he really gets into that with us. And one thing I think is so exciting is we get a bit of a scoop in this episode, Jill, do we not?
Yes. He's coming out with his own face tool a little later this year. And of course, he also tells us what face tools he thinks are worth the money. But he himself has been working on a tool and it's coming out a little later in 2024. So we will stay tuned for that. And, you know, he is a brand representative for Augustinus Bader. So he is the luxury lord. But I do get him to share an unexpected purchase that he makes at Boots when he goes home to the UK. So stay tuned to the end for that. And be sure to follow us over on TikTok at Breaking Beauty Podcast, because we actually got him to do a little mini facial on himself that's less than 5 minutes. And even I could do it.
Yeah, we're learning. We're learning. But I think what's fantastic about this episode and makes it a standout is not just that he shares all of these like celebrity facial secrets with us, but again, going back to that character, you are never going to believe his roots, where he comes from. Like, his backstory involves a Scottish lineage that leads back to like the royals. I'm talking the characters in Braveheart. No shit. He had the most intimate friendship relationship with Isabella Blow, like legend. So he talks to us all about that. And in fact, this episode blew our socks off so much We had so many reactions in the moment, and we know you will too. We're doing a thing, something we've never done before. Jill, I'll hand it to you to give the announcement.
Yeah, so we're going to do a YouTube premiere of this episode. Woo-hoo! So if you're not already subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do so now. It's at Breaking Beauty Podcast, and get all of your friends to subscribe as well. But 8 p.m. Eastern on May 1st, we are going to gather at our YouTube channel and we're going to debut and roll out the episode and watch it in real time together. So Carlene will be on the feed, so will I, and you'll be able to type in the comments section live chat with us and react with us to these stories, these tips, these tricks. And trust me, you're going to be like, glad that you're watching with friends because there is so much to talk about. And of course you can watch it on demand later if you so choose. But I think this kind of like community gathering will be really fun. And
yeah, we can all chat while we're watching. I love that. It's like a real viewing party.
Yes. So friendly reminder that every single thing that we mention in today's episode, you can find it over on our website, which is breakingbeautypodcast.com. So without further ado, welcome Lord Gavin. Pausing to shout out Nutrafol, they're one of our longtime show partners. I love when a beauty brand is able to shine a spotlight on a once taboo conversation, something like hair thinning. I really feel like Nutrafol over the past few years has been able to bring this topic out into the light. And the real talk is we should be talking about hair thinning more because the reality is that one in two women will experience hair thinning in their lifetime. So that's a lot of people that are looking for a solution. And if you're not familiar, Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. That's what I definitely noticed, less shedding. It's physician formulated with drug-free ingredients and Nutrafol supplements. They support healthy hair growth from within, and it's really targeting those root causes of hair thinning, everything from stress to environment as they evolve through a woman's life. And Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow through different stages, whether that be postpartum, as well for different lifestyles, if you're a plant-based diet, for instance. And great news, we have a special offer just for Breaking Beauty listeners. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code BREAKING. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com. And use promo code BREAKING. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code BREAKING. We'll link to this promo in our show notes and on our website. Now back to the show.
The Run for Revogue is where you'll meet all the most exciting people in fashion and culture.
I am Fran Lebowitz, who should be the mayor of New York.
We all support that.
We support that.
Very nice.
Nikki.
Yes.
It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
All right, Usher, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
All right, here we are.
On the podcast, you'll learn how Vogue really works.
Sometimes we'll come in for a second or even third run through until we are AWOC.
Can you tell us what AWOC means?
It means AWOK, Anna Wintour OK.
I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mel.
And we're the hosts of The Run Through with Vogue, where fashion and culture collide.
Join us. It's AWOC.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty Podcast, Lord Gavin McLeod Valentine. It's so great to see you and meet you in person. And we absolutely need to know the origin of your name. Are you a Nepo baby of the aesthetic world? Tell us everything.
I wish I was a Nepo baby. Life would be much easier. No, I have this very long name, and this is a truncated version of it, because I come from a very old Scottish family.
Okay.
I was just in Texas the other day and a girl asked me and she said, can you tell me what is an aristocrat? And I said, the easiest way to break it down is that I'm a product of strategic incest. So hundreds of years ago, we all got on with each other in order to preserve land. But going further back, My great-grandfather was King Robert the Bruce of Scotland. Uh-huh. King Henry I of France was my grandfather all the way back. Mary Queen of Scots was a great aunt.
What?
So
what?
I come from a very kind of tenured MacLeod family in Scotland. So I always like to tell people that I'm sort of like the Prince Harry of my family. I ran away to America to discover myself. But no, there was no beauty in my background other than glamorous mom, glamorous grandparents, things of that nature. But my passion and why I came to do what I do now is I had terrible skin growing up.
Okay.
And so it wasn't, there's not a sexy story to lead into
right.
it, but that's where my interest in that particular area stemmed. But, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I just wanted to know I wanted to be influential.
Right.
Yes.
Do you look good in tartan?
Yeah. I mean, I was born to be in tartan. I have a kilt. I have a whole, you know, thing, rigmarole that we put on when we want to do a Highland dance.
And, obsessed.
Yeah.
Bagpipes, the whole thing.
Is this related? Is your backstory related to the movie with Mel Gibson? Remember that movie?
Yes,
Braveheart.
But
Braveheart. Oh my God,
annoyed
Braveheart.
Annoyed by that movie because my grandfather was portrayed as being such a kind of a weak, pathetic little man.
Oh.
But in reality, he was a huge advocate for Scottish people. I mean, whenever there's a political sort of disarray, one has two options, right? You can either fight the rebellion and preserve your independence, or you can try and strike a deal that many people are not slotted in the path.
Mm-hmm.
And so King Robert, he was very much about preserving the integrity of Scotland at minimal cost to lives. And that was in direct opposition of what William Wallace wanted, where he wanted to be the freedom fighter and just destroy all the English people.
Right.
So he wasn't portrayed very well in that movie, but, you know, he was in it. So that was good.
Okay. You've heard the correction here. Maybe there will be a part two movie and maybe you'll be
consulted.
On a horse.
Maybe I should play him.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah. Oh my God.
How
epic.
Should we address you today? Lord Gavin?
Gavin.
Or just
Gavin.
Lord?
Fred.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
I love that we recently had Sir John on the show
true,
as well.
True.
Have you ever met Sir John?
I have. Yes, I have. He's so charming and so talented. I mean,
he's
okay.
So
my God.
He's
all
so
right.
sweet.
Epic dinner party. I also read that you're a friend of the late, great Isabella Blow.
Correct, yeah.
What can you tell us? Is there a story that...
Yeah, I mean, Izzy is really responsible for the life that I live now. You know, I grew up in a very expected life. You know, I was go to, you know, university, probably become a lawyer, doctor, accountant, something of that nature. And I was quite swotty, so I went through English and Scottish literature very quickly, got my bachelor's, and then I moved down to intern with her at Tatler magazine.
Mm.
And she was a friend of a friend and was just the most extraordinary person. You know, she had this ability of understanding when people were on course and off course.
Mm.
And
mm.
what she said to me in her very, you know, dynamic way, she said one night we were working very late and she said, you know, Gavin, I've been thinking, okay, you need to go to America because everybody hates you here. And I said, what do you mean everybody hates me? Oh, everyone just hates you. Hates you, hates you, hates you, hates you, hates you, darling. I said, why do they hate you? Why do they hate me? And she goes, well, think about it. You know, you're just an annoying, another annoying tough working in publishing. You need to go to America and become Wedgwood.
Mm.
And I said, what does that mean? And she said, well, think about it. In this country, it's, ugh, Fergie. In America, it's the Duchess of York. Go and do that. And so I said, well, how do I do that? And she goes, you have to go to college. And I said, I just left university. I didn't really want to go back. And she goes, well, think about it. A few weeks went by, 9 o'clock at night. She says to me, oh, by the way, you have an audition tomorrow for drama school. I do.
Oh,
yes, in a New York drama school. I said, what do I have to do? And she said, learn something old, Shakespeare or something. That was the only advice I had. And it was at the Savoy Hotel. So all night I was like, do I do Macbeth with an authentic Scottish brogue, right? Or do I do Iago? Like, what do I do? I ended up doing Macbeth. So I rocked into the Savoy and the chap, Roger Croucher, said, and, you know, what's your name? And I said, Lord Gavin MacLeod of Glencairn. And he said, is that your real name? And I said, mm-hmm. And he said, okay, what are you doing? So I did Macbeth. And they said, okay, fine. What song have you prepared? And I thought, well, I could do a mean Barbra Streisand impression. So I did Baba Black Sheep in the version of Barbara. And I said, okay, that was interesting. So anyway, I get to Tatler Monday and he goes, how did it go? Did you get in? I said, I don't think it works that way, is he? And she goes, oh, it's a disaster. So she flung herself on the desk, covered her head in a cape, set a timer on those old alarm clocks with the two bells on top, like in a cartoon. 20 minutes she was in mourning and then it went off. She went, okay, now that your career is dead and resurrected, we can get back to work.
Oh.
Cut a long story short, they called me and offered me a full scholarship. So
oh,
I
wow.
did end up moving wow. to America on that premise. Not that I ever wanted to be an actor, but it was quite nice to feel as an uptight upper-class Brit. It was quite unusual to feel emotion so intently. That was quite fun. But now I look at it as a communications degree, and what I do think it has given me, which I think is hugely instrumental into my success today, is in two kind of areas. One, my ability to communicate and enunciate brands or methods that we're working with. And the other is to really understand the process by which the talent is going through. Oftentimes, depending on the distribution of a project, sometimes that client is currently filming something or they're coming out of something and they have to kind of do a pivot where they're no longer that character, but they're now the actress who is going to these shows and whatnot. So there's an enormous amount of emotional kind of filing systems going on. Okay. And it kind of gives me an understanding of what they at least have had to go through to get to that performance that we're now celebrating.
So how did you end up working in beauty?
What was interesting, so when I realized that acting wasn't really what I wanted to do, I couldn't really handle the rejection. I called Izzy and she said, well, do what we all do when we can't do something. And I said, what's that? She goes, public relations. And I knew that I would be kind of good at it. So I had a friend at the time who hired a publicist and he was looking for an assistant. And actually my husband was very good friends with her and made the connection. And so I started my entree into fashion with him on a very sort of low level. I mean, he did a lot of fast fashion and things of that nature. And then from there, I processed onwards to be more high fashion with a woman called Robin Buckley, who had established People's Revolution with Kelly Catrone.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were working on, you know, very niche but high-level brands like Greg Lauren, who's Ralph Lauren's nephew, The Elder Statesman, Anna Cora Jewelry, things of that nature. And it was during that time that my frustration with PR is that you were always working for the benefit of somebody else. And I mean, I know that's called a job, but I couldn't stand that every day was spent doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was passionate about beauty from a young age for two reasons. One, as I mentioned, I had terrible acne growing up as a teenager. And I knew firsthand how that limits one's ability to show up and how it really impacts one's self-worth.
Yeah.
And so I think when you have something that you're trying to resolve, you kind of become your own armchair Jessica Fletcher. And you're trying to figure out the clues and the signs and the products. And so just in that sort of impetus, I became fascinated by skincare.
Mm-hmm.
I also probably am really a love child of Joan Collins because I love glamour and fur and, you know, perfume and the whole thing. And so I became really fascinated in just the whole scope of what beauty represents.
Mm-hmm.
So I created a little blog on Tumblr when that was a thing called Amber and Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I would introduce different things like, have you heard? And it would be news content.
Mm-hmm.
Or what say you? And I would interview people about the relationship with fragrance because I thought you can be very intimate, but it's never intrusive.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had another section called Do You Know? And I'd look at iconic products, 8-Hour Cream, Fracas from Urban Decay, things of that nature.
Yeah.
And one of the people that I interviewed, her name was Gina Brooke, and she was a makeup artist had built a long career working
with Madonna.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
And she and I hit it off and she said, listen, I have a contract with a brand called Nutraceuticals from Australia. They need some help getting PR. Is that something that you'd be interested in? And I said, oh my God, if I got to work with you, that would be incredible. I would love to do that. So I interviewed, I got the job with Nutraceuticals. And then like most publicists, I always say a publicist is a little bit like running for president.
Mm-hmm.
You tell everybody what's gone wrong and what you're going to do. And then you get the lay of the land and you go, maybe you're not going to cancel that debt. So I got with Nutraceuticals and I realized you're not in traditional retail. You don't create products in a very quick way. We're playing footsie. It's quite fun.
That's right.
I love that. And you're not in traditional retail.
Yeah.
So you were up, excuse my French, Schitt's Creek without a paddle.
Mm-hmm.
But what you did have was a celebrity narrative.
Yes.
And this is really where the course of my career changed.
Yeah. What year was this?
This would have been 8 years ago.
Okay.
So that's 2016, if my math is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I joined them maybe a year prior.
Okay.
So I said, well, why don't we create a division of the company where we give ongoing treatments to the world's most famous faces when they need to look their ultimate best and it matters most.
Yeah.
And we can PR out the red carpet coverage and kind of being associated as the go-to red carpet brand.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, do it. So I said, okay, great. So actually there was a little bit of a break from Robin. I went to LaForce and Stevens and then I went to Nutraceuticals. And so I called my old assistant and said, wait, do you have access to celebrity contacts? So she gave me some. And I emailed out from Met Gala 8 years ago. You know, we would do this treatment. The only team to respond was Halle Berry.
Hmm.
And I got on the phone with her best friend and stylist, Lindsay, and her hairstylist, Castilla Bataille. And I said, this is what the treatment does, you know, it, mm-hmm. kind of hydration bank account for the skin. And they said, would love it. I said, okay, I'll let you know. It'll be Olga or Tatiana or something like that name. She'll be there on Monday to take care of you. And we'll do that. I said, okay. So I called back on Saturday and said, such and such is coming. And they said, no, we don't want her to do that. We don't want it. And I'm thinking, I just put a press release on the wire that we're doing this. And they said, we want you to do the facial. And I said, well, I don't do facials. And they said, well, you said you had the oxygen machine at home. And I right. said, well, I haven't because I'm a narcissist, not a facialist. but they said, figure it out. And they put the phone down. And wow. so I practiced 2 days in a row just doing the ch-ch-ch on everybody that would come through my yeah. New York apartment.
So this is like a handheld wand. I've had this yeah, treatment, I think. Exactly. And it's like so blasting it's a, air in your skin.
Yeah. So it's a concentrator.
Yeah.
And then it has an applicator, like a little sort of airbrush gun.
Yes.
With a flat nib on the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you put the serum in it. And their serum was pretty much hyaluronic acid based mm-hmm. before that became a buzzword that everybody said.
Yeah.
And it sort of just imbues the skin with a sense of resiliency. But also I like to think about it, you're opening up a hydration bank account. Mm-hmm. So you're creating a reservoir of hydration.
Yeah.
And so I practiced as much as I could, got to her apartment, she came down the staircase from a long flight. And the first thing she said to me was, oh, thank God you're here. I need an expert. How long have you been doing this? And I'm thinking, is this a setup? So I thought, I have no choice but to answer correctly. And I said, longer than I can believe. And as most people would love to say who maybe don't have my persuasion, I led Hallie into the bedroom and threw her on the bed. And I started to ch-ch-ch on her face. Yeah. And it just wasn't doing enough.
Mm.
Like, yes, it was hydrating. She was going to get a glow. But I thought, I need to lift the architecture.
Right.
I need to separate church and state. So mm-hmm. the cheekbone and the jaw plane, I need to get that snatch or that buckle fat removal mm-hmm. look.
Yeah.
And then if I can lift the eyebrow, then at least I'll give the look of energy. And mm-hmm. for me, and anybody who's listening, really what communicates youthful vitality is a sense of communication and hydration within the skin. We can lift it, we can freeze it, we can fill it, we can fry it. Done it all. But if you don't actually address those other points, you yeah. don't look younger. You mm-hmm. just look locked in mm-hmm. versus lived in, mm-hmm. right? So you want to look rested and vital. So anyway, I thought, well, I've done baking with Granny. I can do this. So I started to just massage and go and go and go.
Just
and
I'm knead like, the skin.
Moving the skin. I'm like, I think I've seen this before. Like
roll
it was
pat,
a, it was
pat.
A real mean, like Joanna Czech lip sync
yeah,
at the time.
Right.
I'm like, I think this is something and this is something.
Few slaps.
And she was thinking, So the noises were giving me an impression yeah. that it was going well. So after about an hour and 15 minutes, I thought, she'll probably give her face back. I was like, okay, that's she done, my love. And she got up, she looked in the mirror. She turned around and she said, I look and feel so beautiful.
Wow.
And I said, God, I'm good. I didn't have the language at the time. But what I've come to understand, and I think what I do is very unique amongst mm-hmm. my peers, is at that moment, what I loved about it was converting the energy from being anxious and small to where's my weave, let's go, woo, you know, the energy mm-hmm. completely changed. And so now what I say I do when I work with clients is sort of ground them in their inherent deservingness to be there. Because mm-hmm. unless you're Meryl Streep or Robert De Niro, like many people still kind of feel like they're going to get caught.
Yeah.
And then amplify and elevate their energy to meet the expectation of the event or the public. And so bringing those two things together. So off Hallie went. The next day, Vogue.com ran a story saying Hallie looking 10 years younger than Kim Kardashian. Yeah. What did she do?
Wow.
2 days later, I got a call from Kim Kardashian. A week later, I got a call from Susan Sarandon, right. Kate Blanchett, Sarah Jessica Parker. And I thought, she'll probably get trained.
I was going to say, you're on the other line calling Joanna Czech. Do you have any internships?
Exactly. I'm like, And I remember the employer said, it's okay. Don't charge money. Don't pierce the skin. You won't go to prison. I said, okay, we'll probably figure this out.
Impress is one of our trusted show partners. So today's episode is all about getting red carpet ready in an instant. And there are two products that I highly recommend for your big event. If you don't happen to have a glam squad on speed dial, I use these products myself whenever I'm in a pinch because they're quick, easy, and professional looking. I'm talking about the Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Have you guys tried these? Both require zero glue, so there's no damage to your natural nails or your natural lash line. No annoying drying times, no mess, just one step and you're done. Whether we're talking nails or lashes, they have super natural options that match my personal aesthetic, and they're actually really comfortable to wear. Impress nails come in all shapes and sizes. You can do the short nail trend, which is what I'm rocking right now, all the way up to like a stiletto style. They have a patented super hold adhesive that lasts up to 7 days. You just peel off the tab, stick them on, and that's it. I love to use these when I'm filming a TikTok as well. And for the lashes, the press-on falsies are really different from other ones you may have tried because you actually stick them under your lash line instead of over. So I find that these look more natural that way. And they have the same kind of self-stick technology, so you don't need any glue. If you're lazy slash busy like me, it's perfect. And the last thing I really love about Impress is that they're serving with the promo codes, honey. Just visit impressbeauty.com/breakingbeauty and use code breakingbeauty at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and press on falsies. That's 25% off using code breakingbeauty. We're going to link to this offer in our show notes and on our website. And now back to our amazing guest.
So I got trained and did all the proper things, but I think the real change in my career that took me to where I am now and why I consider myself more of a facial masseur than a traditional facialist is I'd gone to China on a press trip and I was introduced to an incredible woman called Madame Shin. She was 86 years old at the time. She was a geisha who was living in a tiny town called Guangxi outside of Beijing. Her benefactor was in Beijing. And for 60 years, she'd also been a geisha den mother in Kyoto. And so she would take the young girls, the maiku, who get painted as memoirs of a geisha as we know it, with the little kabuki lips and whatnot. She would teach them tea ceremony, the art of dance, kabuki. But she would also, as she described in translation, she would re-articulate their faces to make them look more angular for the American and Western businessmen who are paying for their time and privilege.
Wow.
So rather than being round, which is synonymous with an Asian profile, she wanted them to look more augmented, more Western-like for the men to be attracted to them. And so I was at a sort of a ceremony with her of some nature, and I remember my guide saying, da-da-da-da-da, Kim Kardashian. And then everybody started to laugh, and then all of a sudden it was over. And I said, What happened to my guide, who I called Mother China because she wore a turban, a kaftan, carried a fan, wore jade, and had a Pomeranian in her arm? But her name was V, and she loved the fact that I thought that she was the definition of China. And she said, I just asked her. I said, you know, she works with geisha, you work with Hollywood geisha. Could she show you some moves? And she just felt a little bit put on the spot.
Right.
Cut to the next day, I'm checking out of the Four Seasons, and I see a little sort of pauper boy with a sign that said, Lord. And I thought, well, he's either come to find me or Jesus. We'll find out. So I walked up with my guide and they said, you must go to Madame Shin now. And so I moved to hers and I ended up living with her a few weeks. And she trained me in Kobe Do, but in a very specific form that the geisha used. Her version was quite aggressive. I have to say, I thought, I'll put me in jail. So I've modified it quite a lot.
Okay.
But that's the arc of where I went from fashion to beauty and then making that transition to hands-on facial masseur now.
Okay. Incredible journey. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I read that you also consider yourself more about red carpet prep as opposed to like a skin maintenance type of an esthetician.
Yeah. You know, I think it's very interesting. Probably because myself, I've never really gone to estheticians or facialists for my own sort of issues or concerns. I've always gone to dermatologists. So I didn't have that direct relationship myself. But I also knew that the part that excited me was what we were going back to. It was working with the talent on many sort of tiered front. It was, yes, preparing their skin so it bounced light, it photographed brilliantly, but it really was supporting their emotional, psychological, you know, pressures and converting that for them. So that had always been the thing that appealed most to me. And also the excitement of being associated with this A-list talent and getting to know these incredible talents was just, you know, the thing that sort of pulled me in. So I made it quite deliberate in the beginning that I wasn't going to be open to the public. So even today, I don't take bookings with the public. I, you know, yes, I treat media or influencers when it pertains to a launch or an event of some type, but most of my time is really spent in terms of doing the facial treatments with the talent for red carpet and for camera. And mm-hmm. so when you look at that, it's a different set of problems that you're trying to overcome. Mm-hmm. And listen, and to this day, I'll send people to Shani Darden. I'll send them to Joanna Vargas. Yeah. I'll send them to Evan Paul. If you're looking for long-term health benefits right. to your skin and you maybe don't want to go down the dermatological route, mm-hmm. then obviously there's incredible mm-hmm. talents there. Yeah. Who also do red carpet too, by the way, yeah. and do it yeah. brilliantly.
But you're not out here doing extractions.
No.
Right.
No,
yeah.
no, no.
Yeah.
I'm too posh to push. Yeah. so I just wanted to be very much mindful of this is my skill set.
Yeah.
So if I take a client, could be anybody, usually they're fatigued and exhausted, they've traveled in mm-hmm. or they're still working on set. I have to make them match the public perception. And there's so many times prior to even doing this where I, in fashion, where you'd see celebrities and whatnot. And I remember the cattiness and the bitchiness amongst people's criticisms and critiques of the talent. They would say, oh my God, she like, do you see how dry her skin looks?
Right.
She looks so, oh, like all that kind of noisy stuff. And I thought, God, can you imagine being on the receiving end of that all the time? Mm-hmm. And so it's very specific. So if they come to me, my job is to enliven the complexion. It's to, I always say, to hide the time and remove the crime. It's to really massage and work on the lymph channels to drain and detoxify, mm-hmm. put everything back up and lifted as to where it originally was, mm-hmm. and kind of have a synergistic, energetic conversation within the complexion mm-hmm. that bounces the light from the camera, that allows them to feel emancipated from the exhaustion they're feeling. We all know that feeling. You look in a mirror, you look tired. Oh, I'm tired. You look in the mirror, your Botox kicked in,
yeah.
you're like, oh, I feel good. You suddenly have a different gust of wind beneath your wings. Mm-hmm. And so I like to think of myself as a gust of wind. I like to get wind. So it's very niche, it's very specific.
Yeah.
But it's really about making them look their ultimate best
yeah.
in that particular situation. And also, you know, a lot of my friends and collaborators are the most genius makeup artists.
Yes.
But one knows in order to have makeup, and I remember my darling friend Jamie Greenberg was on here talking
yes.
about how makeup doesn't last all day,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so the only way you can make it last is with a primer and a hella powder.
Yeah.
yeah.
So oftentimes I'll overdose the hydration and the glow, knowing that there's going to be a conversation amongst the maquillage.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything settles into this imbued brilliance mm-hmm. once they get to the carpet. So
right.
it's sort of mathematical in a certain mm-hmm. way, but that's how I tend to work with a client.
Interesting. Yeah. And it's kind of like, I've read that you do almost like a meditation, or you're yeah. kind of like part therapist when you're working on them.
I finish every session with a guided meditation.
Okay.
And I think that's really important, because if I've taken as my responsibility to kind of arm them and ground them and get them ready for what's to come, I'm usually the last person that sees them in a moment of calm. And so what I like to do is when I finish all the rumpy pumpy, I'll put on LED mask and I'll guide them down, you know, becoming aware of anywhere that they're holding tension,
mm-hmm.
usually the neck, lower back, things of that nature. And then most of the time I'll have them pull up an intentional thought or word that allows them to navigate the decision-making throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I often feel, you know, there's I'm sure many things you've gone to and I've had to go to that I'm like, oh, really don't want to. But if I reframe, I already predetermine how I wish to feel in a situation, it mm-hmm. changes the outcome of my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I want to do with them, particularly if it's a high pressure event, it's the Met Gala, it's the Oscars,
yes.
something like that, or they're just tired from all of it. Let's reframe it. Let's find that intentional thought. Let's ground you in this mm-hmm. sort of balanced energy, so there's flow. And then let's get you ready so that when you finish with me and you go into hair and makeup, which in and of itself is the beginning of the event.
Mm-hmm.
That energy is amplified. The music is pumping. They're already in some ways at the event in their mind,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. So if I can get them ready and make sure that they are balanced, and then they also have that intentional action that they'll take.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we do that? Because as soon as you get out of your car and set foot on the carpet, you are in the process by which your boundaries will be ignored.
Mm-hmm.
You will be forced to say yes. And unless you are really solid in yourself and you've already done some pre-meditative work, it's easier to give away what really you need to say for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So by doing that, people become more in control of their experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool. Do people cry in the meditation?
I would say 99% do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I think there's just a lot of pressure. And I think that's one thing for everybody listening that I always like to kind of make aware. Not, I think people are more aware of it now, but it looks so glamorous. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the dresses look so gorgeous. You know, there's hours of preparation. There's fittings throughout the week. There's makeup on, makeup off, makeup on, makeup off. There's, you know, you're getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning every time. You're going to bed at 1 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. There's never really a time for these talents to get the rest that they need to right. look impossibly perfect. Mm-hmm. And there's so many events which aren't photographed. Like if you're in a campaign, right now I'm working mm-hmm. with Emily Blunt and Lily Gladstone mm-hmm. through an award season. You know, there's coffees and cocktails and screenings right. and meet and greets and all these things that
Such
don't get
point.
The publicity.
Yeah.
But it's packed in this really short mm-hmm. period of time. So when I do work with a client, a lot of it is just fatigue and exhaustion. They're mm-hmm. not able to say to the publicist, I don't want to do that. You know,
yeah.
all of that kind of stuff. So you get them to the point where they can have the release with you.
Yeah.
And that kind of removes that so they can
like a
forward.
Reset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reset. So nice. I agree. That's exactly. It took me it was part of my maturity journey, I'm going to say, realizing how great tears are. Mm. You know, I used to always try not to cry because if you're tough and mm-hmm. you're in control of your life, mm-hmm. you, right. you know, you don't cry. That's what you think in your 20s. Mm-hmm. And then in my 30s, I was like, oh no, crying is good. That's the release that lets me then move on.
You should hang out with my husband. He's a hypnotherapist and a life coach. He calls himself a belief system enhancer and sort of a mindset coach. But he, when he was going through his own catharsis and kind of looking at trauma from child and things like that, he was crying and crying and crying about it. And he said, listen, if I'm going to cry, let's make it productive.
Yeah.
And there is something about having a jolly good cry.
Definitely.
It's a visceral, physical release. Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us are in denial mm-hmm. of just how challenging life can be. Mm-hmm. The pressures. I mean, we might have the best careers in the world, right? And yeah. one is always made to feel like you shouldn't complain. But there are stresses and pressures and lack of sleep and travel and right. all of it and all of it and all of it. Not to mention the mind bleep that yeah. we went through with COVID that I don't know. Think collectively none of us have really gone, mm-hmm. like, whoa.
Yeah,
we did that.
I agree.
Absolutely.
We did that. So any opportunity to cry and get something out mm-hmm. is the best. And the best thing, if you can work out and cry at the same time, even better.
So the Met Gala, what would one expect if they're getting treated by you? What's the typical protocol?
So with me, I have a very specific process. I always go directly to client. And so what I'll do is I'll start off with a double cleanse. I'll always begin with a cleansing balm. For me, that gives me the perfect play time to bring the awareness and awakening of massage to the skin. Mm-hmm. The cleansing step for me is so vital because what you want to do is increase the blood flow. People get worried about going red. Having an allergic reaction is very different mm-hmm. from bringing blood flow. And right. I always say to clients, listen, if you don't go red, you might be dead. we want to go a little bit flush, and that helps to expeditiously put the skincare to much more immediate use. So I start with the cleansing balm from Augustinus Bader, is my favorite, to kind of really waken up the high points. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of massage along the jawline, really opening up those lymph channels, those portals to get rid of the trash, and then start to work on the planes and get them used to hands-on physical touch. Mm. For so long, facials have been so heavily machine-driven, mm-hmm. whether it's a hydrofacial, right. radio frequency, what have you, that there hasn't been a huge element of human connection. And what I found after COVID, everyone's dying to be felt
yeah.
up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? true.
So I start with that. Then I go into more of a lactic acid cleanser, kind mm-hmm. of move any debris that's on the skin. Mm-hmm. From this point, I then take a face oil and I go into the mm-hmm. first pass of a very rigorous, intentional fascia facial massage. Mm-hmm. We go very deep within the plane of the muscle. When you actually engage the fascia layer, you're triggering the stem cell signaling of communication. Mm. Okay. So what that does is it alerts the collagens and the fibroblasts and the elastins. It pulls them into sort of the talking conversation. When you go to a doctor and they hit you on the knee to see if you've got reflexes, mm-hmm. it tenses and tightens. It's the same principle with the bands of the muscular structure on the skin. You're pulling it tight at the same time. You're also working on the lymph channels by really expunging and moving everything along. Mm-hmm. So I start with a lot of movement along the jawline. Mm-hmm. I then move up under the cheeks, a lot of tapotement, you mm-hmm. know, flip, 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 mm-hmm. a lot of squeezing and a lot of slapping.
I love that.
And then a lot of kneading with my knuckles and my heels and my hands under from under the eye, under the cheek, up to the temple, mm-hmm. and then over the eyebrows. That portion will last about 10 minutes of just constant, rigorous momentum and movement of the skin. Mm-hmm. From there, I go into an algae sheet mask that Augustine Spada produced for the professional category only. So any of our spa partners or even our own standalone clinics. We have one in New York above the Webster and we have one in London. Mm-hmm. So I put that on and then I activate that dry sheet mask, usually with a cotton pad in a bowl, with a serum that Professor Spada created, which is rich in hyaluronic acid, squalane, glycerin, pomegranate seed extract, vitamins A, C, and E, aloe vera, and green tea. So it's a big dose. It's almost like if a traditional serum opens a savings account on the skin, this is a trust fund, okay? So we're really getting any redness, any hostility of the skin sensitivity. We pull that down, and then that will stay on for about 10 minutes. And on top of that, I'll use two things. I'll use a cryo stick that I love, particularly from Angela Callia, my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I keep them in ice. I roll them on it, and I work a lot from tear duct under the cheek to really get that part defined and pull the cinch under the jaw.
Right.
So you're having the contrast there.
Yeah. So he's pointing to like where you would contour your skin with makeup. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your cheeks pop.
Yeah. Exactly. And then I'll lay them on the eyes because who doesn't love that? And it
so
just
gives
them all like, ooh, okay. You realize how tired you are actually when you do that.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I'll use a sonophoresis device. I like to use it for its percussion. So it has a low level vibration that just helps to penetrate that serum deeper than it would topically go.
Okay.
Okay. Then that comes off.
Wait, what's the brand name for that?
That's just Augustina Spada.
For the
sonophoresis.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a good question. All of the tools that I use, other than two things I can get to, are by an incredible brand called Apatra. From London.
Is it professional only or?
It's available to the consumer, but it's designed to be for mobile therapists.
Okay.
So they're extremely expensive.
Got it.
And I don't hide that from anybody.
Got it.
I'm actually developing my own microcurrent with them, which will be coming out for Mother's Day. Very excited.
Ooh.
So stay tuned.
The Lord tingles.
But we're going to make it affordable, folks. Ish. So I use a sonophoresis and I just love the percussive nature. You can use, if you have a new face at home, you have anything that vibrates, stick that on top of your mask. It will help. Percussion really helps to move things down.
Got it.
When that comes off, I then go into an oxygen facial using the same serum and using a concentrator. That again helps even more penetration of the product and allows me to also do a lighter form of lymph drainage by following the contour of the applicator. It's almost like an airbrush gun.
Yeah.
You press it on the skin. You follow the lines of the rhythm of the lymph drains, but also your wrinkle lines. And it just helps blur and blend everything out. From there, I go into my second more aggressive round of whiplash facial. So at this point, you've unlocked the bonds of the face. Knowing that most people grind their teeth, hold their tension. Funny insight, I read something in the New York Times a while ago, and they were saying that with people having Botox, not that all my clients have Botox, but most people have done something, there's two areas that we hold our tension. We hold it in our jaw, and we hold it in our butts. In the pelvic floor where we clench, we hold because we're not emoting in the way that we used to. So we've put it somewhere else. So everyone I come to usually has TMJ. They usually have a little high pressure around there. But the time that the first round's happened, that's loosened up. So the second whip around using a moisturizer, it allows much more dexterity and a dynamic movement. The skin is more compliant with where I want to redrape its architecture. From there, I then go into the Lima laser. I like to use two because it helps the penetration of the product as well.
And this is like a red light.
It's a red light, but it's a cold laser. So
it's
a little different from LED, but it's great for pigmentation. It's great for fine lines and wrinkles over time.
Right.
And for those of you listening, any LED, any laser you're using, you're going to have to use it every day, minimum 20 minutes. 12 weeks later, you'll see a result.
Okay.
People need to understand that these things take time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But in a treatment, it really just helps the absorption. And it also gives the skin a respite from being whipped around too much.
Right.
It kind of cools everything down. From there, I go into radio frequency. I love radio frequency because it gets to the right temperature to make the collagen fibers malleable. So I can really, at that point, readdress where I want to drape the skin. And it is a case of redraping the skin on a higher architecture point, really carving out the cheeks. We've removed or expelled the congestion. So at this point, there's no puffiness, there's no roundness. Everything is already highlighted. And it's just allowing the mobility of the skin at this point to be held and to rest in that position. So I do that. And then I finish with a micro cupping device called a contour kinetic toning device, which has little sort of baby kisses, but it suctions the skin. And I use that across the cheek plane to do three things: continue the lymph drainage, to increase circulation and blood flow, but also to give a little bit of micro trauma to the cheek plane so it engorges and becomes larger in volume.
Right.
So the juxtaposition between the cheek and the jaw and the snatch is more overt. And then I finish it with a guided meditation through LED. Either I'll use a dome from Apatra if I can be bothered carrying it. and if I can't, then I usually rely on Omnilux for their LEDs because they're just so mobile and easy to use. Yeah. You can lay it on the skin, pat up the eyes, go kumbaya, and off they go.
Yeah.
So that's this is 60 minutes. What I do.
Is well, holy f-
yeah, I mean,
that is a lot.
It's a lot, but it's, you know, one thing I think it sounds like a lot, and it, everything that I use has a distinct use and need. I don't do anything that's extraneous, and it's nothing that overwhelms the skin.
Yeah, there's no exfoliation in there, I noticed.
No. I if I see a client the day before, 2 days prior to the event, depending on their scheduling, then I'll do a little bit of chemical exfoliation. I will do, if need be, some extractions. If, you know, you've got a blackhead calling your name, I'll make sure that's gone.
Yeah.
But I try and keep things as gentle as possible.
Yeah.
Knowing that we don't often touch our skin, move our skin in a certain way. And so you're already bringing something slightly agitative to the client that they might not be used to or accustomed to.
Right.
And a lot of it, and I think most facialists and therapists would agree, is making sure that the client knows that you're in control, trusts what you're doing. Listen, I don't want to throw a curveball on them, and I sure as hell don't want to throw one on me. So I keep things as gentle as possible, knowing that the workout, the physical manipulation is already at such a high level that I don't need to throw anything else in the mix that could cause an alarmist response.
Yeah, and you don't want to get shit from the makeup artist either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, 100%. Whenever I'm collaborating with a client, I'm always cognizant of the makeup artist and the job that they're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So not only do I think of having two clients, the talent itself is my client, I'm getting them ready, I'm doing what they need, but I'm also preparing the skin for the makeup artist to come. And the last thing I want to do is throw anything their way that's going to make their job or have anything pill or roll.
Yeah.
So I always leave the sort of message with the client, or if I get to see the makeup artist when they come in, tissue anything down, wash anything off. It's in the skin and with the skin at this point.
Right.
Here's your rich cream. I suggest you use this as your primer. Let's go.
So break out the L-net. Have you ever learned any tips from your celebrity clientele that you started doing and kept up in your routine?
I would say no.
Fair.
But what I have learned, and actually what changed my life and why I came to Augustinus Bader, is I was working with Kim Kardashian. And at that time, I used to come with a Mary Poppins bag full of every product you can think of. And she said, "Do you have the Bader?" And I said, "What's that?" And I felt so embarrassed that I didn't know. And she said, "Well, it's in the bathroom. Grab it." So I grabbed the rich cream and I used that to seal it. And she gave it to me and she said, "Use this. Don't use anything else. Just use this and see what it does to your skin. It's really kind of incredible." And I was used to sort of living in South Korea in my bathroom every morning and night. So my regime was long.
20 steps.
Cleanse my skin and just use this. Are you mad? But I did. And within about the month period of time, I couldn't believe the change that I had on my skin. Old acne scarring was very minimized. Pores were shrinking. Botox was lasting a lot longer. I was getting compliments from random people about how good my skin was looking. And I thought, oh, something has changed. And then when I sort of did my research and looked at the brand, looked at the good doctor himself, looked at that him coming from a healing communication perspective and knowing that it was, you know, free of any nasties, that was exciting to me. And when I saw the experience myself, I then started to use it with my clients, saw the immediate benefit of the products and then the long-term change to their skin and thought, this is something that I want to associate. So I guess to answer your question in a roundabout way, I didn't necessarily got a tip, but I got a gift that actually changed my life.
Well, I also saw it in Succession. We know it's the quiet luxury plot. And now I need to ask you conversely, what was a tip that you heard from a client that made your jaw drop, but in horror, and you couldn't believe that they were doing it to their face? Like hashtag de-influenced.
Oh, I mean, I have to tell you, this whole crazy slugging with Vaseline and Aquaphor, the amount of people that said, oh my God, my skin is so good. Do you see how good it is? Because I've been doing slugging. I'm like, do you see your milia? Do you see the blackheads? You know, do you see the fact that you look like a boiled egg? I mean, that is something that I was hearing over and over and over. I was just like, you're out of your mind. Mm-hmm. Oh, my daughter told me she saw it on TikTok. I'm like, is that a dermatologist?
Yeah.
Is that an expert?
Yeah.
That a facialist? No. So that's something that always takes me by surprise. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing that I find constant, and I'm always like, whoa, is how many people don't wash their face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm a big, big, big believer that you wash your face twice a night. Mm-hmm. You're going to do your double cleanse. The first pass is just removing the people from your pores. The second is actually getting the runway ready to receive the landing of these products. But I also do believe in washing your face in the morning. Mm. Now, it depends to what extent.
Interesting.
You know, our inertia comes out when we sleep. And who knows? You might have a new lover.
Yeah.
So you want to wash your face in the morning. It doesn't need to be active.
Yeah.
But encouraging people to wash their face and the resistance to people doing it blows my mind.
Yeah.
Lazy to me, slash busy.
Cleansing is actually the most critical step of skincare, period.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a Micellar fan in the morning, or you need to really use a cleanser?
Micellar water? I'm not a fan, period, of that.
Why?
I just don't think it really cleans the skin at all. Hmm. I think it's sort of the emancipated version of a wet wipe. I just don't think it's doing what we need it to do. Mm-hmm. I think you can use it as a makeup remover, but I would expect a thorough cleanse after that fact.
Okay.
Also, they're tacky and sticky, and you never know how they're going to collaborate with the other products. So I kind of like the cleanser to be on and off. Mm-hmm. And then go into it that way.
Right.
I mean, I understand if people are time starved and they just want to make sure that they get something off, fine. But it's not something that I would recommend as part of your thorough cleansing experience.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to do a little round of rapid fire right now to like wrap things up. This has been so fun. I could stay here all afternoon and chat with you. But what's the most useless skincare product in your opinion?
This was to be rapid. Useless skincare product. A roller. Like a jade roller.
Okay.
Why?
Guashes are more effective.
Okay.
But I also find like God gave you tools. They're called your fingers and your hands. Use them.
Okay.
Yeah. True.
Got it.
And those are free. What about your go-to SPF and what do you love about it?
Okay. Actually, so two I love. If I'm looking for coverage, let's say I want to look a little bit like I've been in Saint-Tropez, I'm addicted to CL by my darling friend, Nikki DeRoost.
Oh, yes.
It's an unbelievable product. It has SPF 50, but it also has medium to buildable coverage.
Okay.
So that's extraordinary.
Mineral SPF?
It's mineral SPF, and it's formulated specifically for those who are concerned about acneic responses or breakouts. So it's incredible for perimenopausal, incredible for teens, phenomenal product. For just your, you know, bare bones protect you.
Right.
It's hard to find, but track it down. It's the Mecca Cosmetica from Australia.
Oh.
It's unreal. You get this sort of silky glow to the skin. Mm-hmm. Really love that. I'd rather you protect yourself, not wreck yourself.
Yeah.
And we can get into the debate about chemical, physical, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just use something.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. And what's the one skincare product that you used to love and use a lot, and now it's discontinued and you wish that you stocked up?
Actually, I used to love this bronzer by Becca.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It works so well with skincare, and you could mix it with your moisturizer and it just gave you this gorgeous tint. So RIP, that's gone. So is the brand, actually. So that was a great loss. I think that's the only thing that I think I've cried over.
What about at-home devices? What do you personally like to use and or have seen the
I'm
most
I'm going to show you. I brought
the
it
best
with
results
me.
From.
Okay. Let's see. Yes.
I have them spray painted in gold for me and put my name on it. It doesn't come like this. But this is the Contour Kinetic I was telling you about.
Okay.
So the way that it works, if I switch it on, is you stick it on the face like so, and it suctions.
Okay. It's like a handheld wand, kind of like a...
It looks like a mini blow dryer in a way.
It does.
Yeah.
It's sucking, not blowing.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's embossed with Lord Gavin. Obsessed.
It is. I put everything in gold. So I love this. And I'll tell you why I love it.
Yes.
I'm not a huge fan of devices that you don't really feel. Mm-hmm. And I do understand New Face does work. People really do love it. But the commitment is where people really fall short.
Totally.
So with this kind of thing, you feel the manipulation of the muscle. You feel this sort of gentle sensorial experience. So it's more fun to use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see the volumization of those high points when you use it. And I find historically, when you get that kind of experience, people are more adept at using it and being consistent with it. So I love that.
What's
as a
it called
tool.
Again?
It's called the Contrakinetic Toning Device.
Okay.
It's $99.
Okay.
It's
amazing.
So cheap.
Okay.
It's brilliant.
And even though you're a luxury lord, I can tell that about you. What's the one product that you always snag when you go to a Boots or a French pharmacy when you're in Europe?
Do I? That's a good question. I think French pharmacies do lip balms really well. Mm. So I'll always grab a lip balm when I'm there. For Boots specifically, I like the No. 7 brow pencil.
Really?
Mm. Oh, it's unreal.
Okay. I've never tried any of their makeup. No. Oh, no, only no, skincare. No.
It's phenomenal. I don't know if you can get it in, because I know you can get Boots in Target. Mm. Here,
yes.
Right? But in the UK, they have a full makeup selection and the brow pencil is unreal.
Okay.
The brows look kind of like they've been laminated when you use them. It has like a silky sheen to them.
Okay.
So I try and grab as much of that as I can.
Okay. Our last question. Finish this sentence. You know you're overdoing your skincare routine when?
When your skin gets red and angry.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one thing that one of the things I want everybody to understand, in order to bring change to the skin, you don't have to hurt and damage it. Less is more. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you be consistent with a baseline that's working well, adding in things here and there as you go. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
But keep that consistent. And don't think just because you see it on TikTok and just because it's the coolest new thing that you need to have it in this moment.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lord Gavin. You are amazing. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much. This has been great.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find details on every product mentioned in today's episode, along with our exclusive promo codes, on our blog at breakingbeautypodcast.com.
While you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. Every episode will be delivered directly to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And get social with us. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Breaking Beauty Podcast.
And did you know we also have a private Facebook group? Just search Breaking Beauty Podcast Chat Room.
You can even leave us a voicemail at any time with questions or feedback at 1-844-227-0302.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast fix. Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can show us some love by writing a review.
See you next Wednesday.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.